My name is Matt. It is the 15th of February, 2020. And today I have three articles for you. The first one is from 9to5linux.com. KDE Plasma 5.18.2 LTS released with Flatpak improvements over 45 fixes. This article by Marius Nestor. The KDE project announced today the second point release of the latest Plasma 5.18 LTS desktop environment series. Plasma 5.18.2, a maintenance update that brings numerous bug fixes. KDE Plasma 5.18.2 is here just 1 week after the first point release and promises to improve support for Flatpak apps in the Discover Package Manager by fixing several bugs, improves support for the plastic theme by patching two crashes in the KWin Window and Composite Manager, as well as to make the KRunner Activities Runner usable again. Furthermore, the second point release updates the new emoji panel to make it snappier, support all locales and languages, and allow filter by annotation. It also improves the shadows of files and folders shown on the desktop to display correctly when using a high DPI scale factor. All right, the next article is going to be from 9to5linux.com, written by Marius Nestor. Quasmail 3.17.5 open source email client released with new features. The Quasmail 3.17.5 open source and free email client has been released over the weekend and looks to be a great release that adds various new features and lots of improvements. Coming 7 months after the previous release, Quasmail 3.17.5 is here to implement color syntax highlighting, support for inline git patch attachments, which can be configured via the other tab in the display slash color page under general preferences. And for the historical article today, this is from today in 2008. This was written by Dave Phillips for the Linux Journal. A few weeks ago, I promised to bring in some more general news from the world of Linux audio software development. Alas, my plans were ambushed by the happy intrusion of the release of Renoise for Linux. But I'm back on track as promised. Here's more straight reporting on the world of Linux sound and music software, starting with some news about recently released music notation programs. I'm not going to read the entire article here, but I am going to read which items were featured in this article. It would be NTED, which I've actually never heard of that one, a Muse Score, I have heard of this one, G Composer, and Lilypond. Those are all really great programs, and that was from today in 2008. As always, if you're interested in reading these articles, you can find these articles posted in the notes wherever this episode can be found, which is archive.org, librequest.org, YouTube, bittube.tv, and an assortment of others. But if you want to find out where you can get the show, you can go to librequest.org. Okay, so on the show today, I wanted to talk to you about the Trinity desktop on PC Linux OS. Now, I had no real, I think I booted maybe once before an ISO of the Trinity desktop for PC Linux OS, but it was in a virtual machine. And today it's running on a hardware install on the Lenovo 11E laptop that I did a review for not too long ago. I don't remember the episode number, but it can be found. But yes, I did a review on this. This is a quad-core Celeron system with a boost speed of 2.5 gigahertz, and I think it runs normally at about 1.8 gigahertz. So it's not a terrible system. It's actually a pretty decent system, and I've done a hardware install. Now, I did have some issues actually getting it installed, but before I get to that, I want to read a little bit about the history, just briefly, about PC Linux OS. Now, PC Linux OS, this is going to be from the history section on Wikipedia. The third paragraph under history, let's see, I believe it's the third paragraph that I wanted to read. No, it'd be the second. In October 2003, Techstar created a fork of Mandrake Linux 9.2, working closely with the Live CD project. Techstar has since developed that fork independently into a full-fledged distribution. The initial releases were successfully numbered as previews, P5, P7, P8, up to P81A, then P9, P91, P92, and P93. So it was in 2003 that PC Linux OS was forked from Mandrake, and of course it was soon after its own distribution. It was no longer just a derived distribution, but it's a full forked distribution where it was its very own thing. And now I've never been a PC Linux OS user, but I am now because I have this installed on this system and it's definitely going to stay here. So a little bit about the Trinity desktop. Now the Trinity desktop was forked from KDE 3.5, and this is going to be from Wikipedia as well. I'm just going to read the very first paragraph, or at least some of it, just to give a general idea about the Trinity desktop environment. So it says the Trinity desktop environment, or TDE for short, is a fork of the K desktop environment version 3.5, organized and led by Timothy Pearson, who had coordinated Kubuntu remixes featuring KDE 3.5 after Kubuntu switched to KDE Plasma 4. So if you were around in Linux around the time that KDE Plasma 4 came out, you would know just how horribly buggy it was. And I mean, that's not really a problem because I mean, it happens, but there was a lot of complaining going on about it. And in fact, I had some serious issues with it myself on my systems, but it was worth it because it was something new and really cool. But KDE 3.5 was very mature and very solid at the time. At least I thought, and then they just bumped right into KDE 4. And so a lot of people had issue with it. And that is where the fork comes from. Just a solid KDE 3.5 being forked into a Trinity desktop. Okay, so let's see. This is actually from the trinity.mypclinuxos.com. So this is where you can find the ISO to download and try yourself. And it says, January 17, 2020 in the news, happy to announce the latest addition to the Big Daddy Trinity ISO. Features include Brave web browser, Audacity, GIMP, Audacious, and kernel 4.19.96. Now, I have downloaded the ISO, the most recent, which is going to be the 2020.02 ISO. And I have installed it on the Lenovo system here. But I did have an issue in OBS actually capturing the desktop. So what I ended up doing was installing a simple screen recorder and a webcam program, and I recorded a video. So I'm going to switch over to that video now and play that, and you'll be able to hear the audio. And if you're watching the video, you'll be able to watch the video. So here we go. I'm going to go ahead and start that now. Okay, so this is the Trinity desktop running on PC Linux OS. Beautiful distribution, in my opinion. And before I go talking about the default installed applications, I just want to say that every program that's installed by default, I really admire the choices that were made. Even there's only one game installed, but even the game that's installed, I have a system, and that's pretty much the only thing I do with it. And so before I go any further, I just wanted to say this distribution is beautiful. It's a beautiful work of art, in my opinion. Now, I want to talk about what's installed by default. By default, you have the entire LibreOffice, I almost said LibreQuest, but LibreOffice suite installed by default. Under games, you have PySol Fan Club Edition, which is Solitaire or Klondike. Under graphics, Digicam Photo Management Program, GIMP Image Editor, and the GIMP image editor has a custom splash screen. If you're watching the video version, it's about to pop up here so that you can see it. It's an absolute, it's cool. It's just really cool looking. I don't know what else to say about it. It's cool looking. I like seeing it. It's very awesome. I appreciate the splash screen on the GIMP. It's really cool. So continuing on under graphics, we have K-Snapshot. K-Snapshot, if you don't know, this is for capturing images of your desktop or of individual windows on your desktop. There is also Kuka, that is for scanning, and OCR. Now, OCR is optical character recognition. Then there is the TDE font view, that is a font viewer for the Trinity desktop environment. Under internet, the default browser is Brave, and I think that's a great choice. There is Knet attach for, it's a network folder wizard. There's KTorrent for managing your torrents. Conqueror web browser, the network center, Pigeon Instant Messenger. Pigeon Instant Messenger is a great instant messenger. I think there's Thunderbird Email, again, a great program. There's some programs on here that if you're watching the video version, you can see I've installed those. Those don't come by default, but those programs are, let's see, Kamurka. I think that's right. Kamurka, Kdenlive, or Kdenlive, however you say it. I say Kdenlive. There's LMMS, which is the Linux Multimedia Studio, and Simple Screen Recorder. Now, I've installed those. I've done a little bit of tweaking on the look as well. Not too much. It's pretty much, it's going to look this way if you're testing it in a virtual machine or if you're installing it on bare metal like I have here. So let's get back to under multimedia. We have KSCD, which is CD player. Or which is a CD player. You have Amarok, which is it basically manages a lot of things about your music collection. It brings in information from Wikipedia. It brings in information from the CD database or CDDB. It's a very good management tool. And then you have Audacity, which is a sound editor, K3B for CD and DVD burning. I think it would be cool to see Bombono in here if you're authoring a DVD movie. It's a very handy program. There's the Caffeine Media Player, K-Mix, which is the sound mixer for the system, and Pulse Audio Volume Control. Under Office, you have the PDF Viewer, KPDF, and Kyle LaTeX Front End, and then the LibreOffice Suite. So under System, now there's also Settings, Systems, and Utilities. There's a lot of stuff in there. I really don't want to name everything that's in there, but I did want to talk about the... Under utility, isn't it utilities? No, it's under system. There's a program called DD Copy, and I believe it is a GUI for the DD command. When I saw that, I was like, that is fantastic. I used DD all the time when I was prepping the USB 3.0 USB drive that I used to copy the image into the RAM. I actually used DD to clear that device before I put the image on there. So I use DD all the time, and DD copy, that's very cool. Oh, also HTOP is installed by default, so that's very handy as well. There was another one. Oh yes, of course. So the GUI for DRACConf, it is under configure your computer. Let me put in the password here. And I made the root password superpass just for this overview that I'm doing. So I did notice in the control center here that they've replaced the original packaging system. And I don't know if that's because of apt-rpm or not, but the original system that was there was really, really old, really, really slow. So it has been replaced with Synaptic. I'm assuming that's because of apt-rpm. I might be wrong. I'm not really sure. It was, but I'm guessing it was probably incompatible, but that's really for the best because I think even ROSA doesn't even include the control center anymore, but the distributions that do, that part is very slow. So, but this is a tool, it's a lot like Yast if you've ever used OpenSUSE. It gives you control over everything, your grub, your users, permissions, your hardware, just about everything. Really great. You can launch it from the terminal with DRACConf on this system. So let's see, what else is there? Software Center, you've got your Software Center. This is an important one. Under Utilities, you have the VirtualBox Guest Editions Installer. If you're running this in a virtual machine, you don't have to insert the guest editions. They're already on the image, so you can launch it from here. And I believe this is tailored so that you can run this in a virtual machine, and it's a tailored guest editions installer, I believe, just for this image. So that's very handy stuff. Okay, that's about it. I think that's all I have to say just for the quick overview here, and guess I'll leave it at that. Okay, so as I had stated before, I did have some issues installing, and what you just heard was just the basic overview of what comes installed on the system, but I did have some issues getting the system actually installed on this laptop. Initially, I couldn't get any of the install options to work, but I did go to the VESA option, which after it booted, it crashed. The X server actually crashed. The X session actually crashed, and I was able to log into the terminal as root. And then I started X as root. I'm sorry, I went to DRACConf and configured the X server, and then I was able to start X. And then anyway, I ended up getting the system installed, but then I thought, you know what? One of these install options has to work, so I reinstalled it again. But this time I used the load into RAM option. So I actually loaded the install into the RAM and it ran absolutely smooth with no problems. I'm not sure if there was an issue with my install media. I have no idea. But the good thing is that the entire podcast today is being produced on the Trinity desktop, on PC Linux OS, on this small laptop, and it's going just fine. I'm not having any issues with OBS. I didn't have any issues with any of the software. Everything looks great on this desktop. I mean, Trinity looks fantastic. It's very nostalgic for me. I used it for a very long time. KDE 3.5 I used for a very long time. So very familiar. Of course, you've got all the customization options that you've always had with the KDE type desktop, which I don't know. It's KDE to me, but it is, you know, Trinity desktop. So, you know, but it's very familiar. I certainly recommend that you take a look at it if you haven't. And it's a lot of fun, but it is PC Linux OS. So there are a few things that are a little different about PC Linux OS. Everything about it is good, in my opinion. That is my overview, review, an experience with Trinity Desktop on PC Linux OS. It is definitely staying on this machine, and I'm very impressed by it, and I couldn't be happier using it. It is both nostalgic and it's new at the same time. I don't know how that works, but that's what it is. So anyway, until next time. Oh, and if you want to be a supporter, you can on Subscribestar and Patreon. I try to remember to say all these things and make it as, streamline the podcast if I can. So anyhow, yeah. So check out LibreQuest.org, and thank you for being a listener. Thank you for watching the videos. And until next time, this has been LibreQuest.